Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Song Dying Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Song Dying QT with you as always. And real fast before we jump into things, if you're looking for wrestling this week, tonight, WCWO at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, ASW in Logan, West Virginia, St. Louis Anarchy in St. Louis, Missouri, and ICW in Millville, New Jersey. Tomorrow night, NWP in Terre Haute, Indiana, Supreme Wrestling in Madison, Indiana, and DCW in Salt Lake City, Utah. And speaking of that particular show, one of the members of the roster is with us now, Pineapple Clad Tom Chad. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Well, since it is your first time here with us, we will lead you off with a traditional first-timer question. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
It was actually about 5 years ago. I was still in the Navy. My wife was living out here in Utah, and I was getting ready to come home, and I was getting kind of sick of spending all my money on booze, and I just knew I liked wrestling, and I found a couple local promotions, and I got started that way, and I've loved it ever since. I don't think I've missed a month.
Now, in your wrestling career, when you were starting out, obviously you had the military background, but did you have any type of amateur wrestling background or athletic background that prepared you for wrestling, or was wrestling training sort of a whole new experience for you?
I actually, all throughout high school, I did collegiate style wrestling, and then when I got into college, I did a couple semesters of jiu-jitsu and some tournaments. That was pretty fun. So it was not really new. It was just same stuff we learned in like wrestling and jiu-jitsu, but how to not actually get someone killed.
Always an important thing in wrestling is not to kill people.
Exactly.
Now, like we said, you will be in Salt Lake City tomorrow for Devotion Championship Wrestling. That company has been red hot over the last couple of years. You picked up statewide television on the CW channel there in Salt Lake City. You've been a big part of that hot streak there at DCW. What has it been like for you as part of DCW when they got the television, they're drawing very well there, and you're one of the hotter companies around?
Oh, I love it. So we're actually only been around for about a year and a half. In January, we had our – no, December, we had our year anniversary show. It was pretty cool. We actually – on our year anniversary show, we had Vince Russo letting everybody know that he's actually going to be full-time part of the Devotion Championship Wrestling family. So I went from just wrestling, trying to get out of the state, to my buddy started up a brand new company and said, hey, we're starting new. Do you want to come join? I said, heck yeah, let's do it. And then it's been nice being a part of that growing and success. So our first step, we got Vince Russo writing for us. Then we got a weekly TV show deal. And now we're actually one of the only few Al Snow Wrestling Academies in the United States. So that was a pretty big thing we put out at our last show, is we're now one of Al Snow's wrestling academies.
Now, I was going to be my next question. OVW, Ohio Valley Wrestling, in Louisville, Kentucky, announced just in the past couple of weeks that it would be sort of a sister promotion with you, and you'll be affiliated with them. OVW has been around roughly about 22 years or so now. They're established, but Al Snow has purchased them in the last couple of years after working as a trainer there. Do you have sort of a working knowledge of Ohio Valley Wrestling going into this arrangement, or is the affiliation going to be kind of a new thing for you and you're going to learn as you go?
So we're actually we're starting to adapt all the Al Snow Wrestling Academy training and all the curricula. So I'm not sure a whole lot about it. This is probably our second month since we've been with them, but I know I'm excited to see what happens for us in the future. And right now I'm just focusing on making sure I'm getting to the top and wanting to head out to OVW and want to get out there with all these guys.
Now, I know that Salt Lake City is very, very different than Louisville is as far as geography and how wrestling works. You're a little bit more isolated in DCW as far as number of promotions around you and so forth, whereas in Louisville, there's a lot more wrestling in and around Louisville. Have you been sort of studying what wrestling is out there in that area so you can maybe hit multiple promotions on a tour, or are you more focused about strictly the OVW promotion and working there?
I'm looking to get out anywhere I can. There's only we're the only wrestling promotion in Utah that's been running since this whole pandemic. So we've got some outlying states that still are running some shows that we've been working with. I know Colorado, we've got a few companies that we've been working with, and then also Arizona. And my big picture is I'm trying to get everywhere and anywhere I can.
And you mentioned Vince Russo writing for DCW. That was announced several months ago, just before the pandemic hit. He has been sort of a polarizing figure in pro wrestling, but he has worked quite a bit with Al Snow over the years in a few different promotions. What is your sort of day-to-day interactions with Vince Russo to this point, and what do you think of his role in the company?
So as soon as the owner of the promotion announced that we're going to be working with Vince Russo, we all had a Skype chat with Vince so he could get to know us, and because he's going to be writing the shows for us, so he wanted to know who our character was. He wanted to know as much about us as he can. And I was pretty lucky. I heard everyone else's stories about the interviews, and they're saying they were pitching all these ideas to him of what they wanted to do. Vince Russo was watching some of the stuff I did, and he actually started throwing out ideas for me. So it felt kind of cool that he saw pictures that were going to work in his head, and he just said, if you can work with me, we'll take off. And ever since he's been writing for us, we've been killing it, and that's pretty much where his part is. He's the booker, pretty much the writer for the show.
Now, how open is the management at DCW, be it Vince Russo or be it other people that work behind the scenes, if you were to have an idea for something on the show at any level, be it for a type of match or for something for another wrestler to do or something for yourself to do, is it easy to get an audience and sort of pitch that, or is it something that the wrestlers aren't really expected or encouraged to do that just yet?
So the whole thing with Vince Russo is he's all about the brand. If you have an idea that you think will be good for your brand, he is more than willing to listen to it. If he thinks your idea will hurt your brand, he'll tell you no. If it's something that you can build up and make yourself look good, Vince will definitely, he's opened up to listening. But if it's something that you think will be good, but if he kind of has experience of, hey, something like that won't work too well, then he'll say, yeah, let's not do that. But overall, the owner of the company put everything in Vince's hand, and Vince said, if we ever have any ideas or questions, just to hit him up. So he's been pretty good to work with.
One of the things that has been going on with you at DCW is the situation with Andrew Sowell. Can you tell us a little bit about what has been going on with the two of you over the last several weeks?
Yep, but me and Andrew, we used to be tag team partners together back before we started DCW. And after I came over here, and Andrew kind of followed, and I guess he was bitter that I just left him in the dust. And I was over here, I was the first core champion for Devotion, and Andrew actually turned his back on me and cost me that championship. And we were running in, beating each other up any chance we could get. And then eventually I made him say I quit at our year anniversary show. And it was a nice match. It was pretty fun. Nobody got too seriously hurt, but it definitely closed that chapter of my life with Andrew so well, and now I'm keeping going from there. You can check out all of these old matches we got at the Devotion Championship Wrestling YouTube. So if you want to see me make Andrew so well say I quit, that's the place to do it.
Al, in your career, I'm sure that you have had a lot of matches that varied in length, some longer than others. Everyone's got that match that, for whatever reason, went really, really quick. What's the shortest match that you've ever had?
The shortest match I've ever had, I think it was The whole thing that we're doing with our matches, where we're making sure we get people involved and wanting to keep watching us. So I think that one of the quickest matches was Manny Lemons and myself against the Brother Smith. Manny got hurt. We were working together, and then when he got hurt, it left me doing all the work. And then once I pretty much had the match won, he tried to tag in, and I was like, what the hell are you doing? I did all the work, and now you want to come in and just get the victory? I ended up getting a quick little roll-up, and I was pretty unhappy about that.
For the people that may not have seen you at DCW just yet, you are pineapple-clad Tom Chad, and you come out and you wear gear that is adorned with pineapple. Can you tell us where the love of pineapple first hit you?
Yeah, we were actually wrestling at FitCon, and I had just some like lounge shorts on that I got from Walmart with pineapples on it. And someone said, "Oh, those are cool. You should try and make a gimmick out of it." And then one of the other guys and a bunch of other wrestlers were like, "Oh, you can't do a gimmick out of that. That'll be so dumb. That'll be stupid." Well, a year and a half after doing the gimmick, turns out pineapples aren't stupid. They're pretty damn cool.
we've seen this year an influx in wrestlers that are based in Pineapple. There is, of course, you. There is Pineapple Jack down in the Texas and Arkansas area. And on AEW, we have Pineapple Pete. What do you think of all this pineapple goodness happening in pro wrestling here in 2020?
I think there's always, it's very hard to get a brand new idea and gimmick in wrestling because it's been going on so long. The way you got to do it is you got to pick something you like, pick something you love, and then just amplify it. If you can do it better than the next person, then that's good on you.
Have you been following very much of the adventures of Pineapple Pete since he's on AEW? I think he might be the most nationally recognized Pineapple-based wrestler out there. Do you have your eyes on him for a possible match down the road?
Haven't been looking a whole lot, but I know that would definitely be fun. I'm going to definitely be keeping my eye out for all the other Pineapple imposters out there and going to prove that a pineapple-clad Tomcat is the real Pineapple King.
Well, like we said, of course, you are pineapple-clad, but in your career so far, do you have a favorite set of gear that you've worn?
I think when I first went over to the Pineapple gimmick, I got those sweet gold yellow pants, and I had them made down from a guy down in Mexico, and he made the pineapple on it, and it was kind of like a 3D kind of deal. It was pretty dope. I think those are my favorite pants so far, but I'm always trying to come up with better new gear, so who knows, maybe my next set of gears are going to be my favorite.
Well said. One of the things that we've seen in wrestling since pretty much the dawn of pro wrestling that has become controversial in the last few years, and the controversy has intensified this week, is the use of steel chair shots. A lot of people disapprove of steel chairs being used as weapons due to what we know about concussions in today's medical science. A lot of people think it's too dangerous of a thing to happen. Matt Hardy was seriously injured this week due to a steel chair shot gone awry. We of course saw a chair come into play with Eddie Edwards and his almost losing an eye a couple of years ago. Do you personally have any thoughts on the use of steel chairs as weapons in pro wrestling?
I think if you're saying using a weapon, no matter what a weapon is, there's always a chance to go wrong. So if you're using a weapon, you definitely got to be careful with it, no matter if it's a chair, a baseball bat, or anything. I think people who are taking chair shots definitely need to be more protective of themselves. I know a lot of people say, oh, you're not tough unless you take an unprotected chair shot, but we've learned a lot about concussions, like you said, and you can still make it look good without damaging your brain cells.
I think a lot of it stems from years ago, one chair shot would knock a guy out for several minutes, whereas I would say 20 years ago, you started seeing 15 to 20 chair shots not really faze someone, although the toll was being taken on them physically. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, definitely. And people are definitely getting stronger. It's just a human evolution. We're getting bigger, faster, and there's bigger animals swinging those chairs than there used to be back when wrestling first started.
Most definitely. Well, at this point, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure he has questions, so I'm going to pass you over to QT for a bit.
Awesome. Thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Tom.
How's it going?
Not too bad. Pretty good. Tom, I saw your YouTube video entitled Heat of the Moment, Tom Chad versus Andrew Sowell. And this was for Devotion Wrestling, and it was a supersized match. Can you tell our fans how you got to meet Andrew Sowell in a supersized match and what the stipulations for the supersized match were?
Oh, yeah. So the supersized match is something Andrew and I came up when we were actual tag partners. We had a burger joint that we had always they sponsored the company, so they gave us free burgers and everything, so we were always a food fat based gimmick, and we decided the supersized match was all your rules for your regular match just doubled. So instead of having to get a 3 count, it'd be a 6 count. Instead of having 10 seconds on the outside of the ring, you'd have 20, and all it was is just a supersized wrestling match, so you could get away with a little bit more on the outside. You could get away with a little bit more in the corner. And you eventually had to beat your opponent so bad where they would stay down for a 6 count instead of just a 3.
Were you a big fan of the movie Supersize Me?
I think I remember watching that in junior high or high school, but definitely it was a good eye-opener to get everyone to stop ordering damn supersized meals, that's for sure.
Oh, wow, okay. All right, now the commentary for the supersized match was done by Tom Sherlock and Lauren Gardner. Have you met Tom Sherlock and Lauren Gardner at Devotion Wrestling, maybe backstage?
Yeah, Tom Sherlock is one of the biggest fans. He's been with watching DCW since the first show. So I don't know how many shows he's been to lately, but he's been with us from the very beginning. And then I know Luan Gardner. He actually does commentary for our weekly shows.
Okay, all right, Luan Gardner. Okay. All right. Well, before you hit the ring, well, Andrew, he was in the ring before you entered, and he was drinking some coconut water. Are you a big fan of coconut water like Andrew is?
Nope. I prefer good old pineapple juice.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Tom, did you know that back in the 1940s, and I got this from my dad, he said that in Honolulu, Hawaii, at the Dole Pineapple Factory, outside the Dole Pineapple Factory, they had what looked like a water fountain, but instead of water, you could drink pineapple juice. Have you ever heard of this? A water fountain that squirted pineapple juice.
No, it sounds delicious and kind of disgusting at the same time. Everyone has free games to it. Yeah, if you love it enough, you go ahead and give it a sip, I guess. I know I'd be tempted to.
Yes, I think it would attract the bumblebees, though. The bumblebees. That would be a drawback, I would think. Unless they had a Dole pineapple plantation worker that was standing there and squirting it off with maybe, I think after every person, but I doubt it happened in 1940.
That's very true.
But now you could kind of see it because of COVID-19, if you were to drink outside and have pineapple juice. I could see a worker standing there if the old pineapple factory is still there. Today it would be more with COVID-19 sanitation, you know, so there probably won't be any bumblebees. Yes. Oh, okay. Now, the supersized rule match meant that a 6 count would have to take place if you were pin your opponent, and a 10 count if you wanted to break a hold. Had you been in one of these matches before, a supersized match? Was this your second one?
Yeah, so I'm trying to think. I don't even recall if Andrew and I did a supersized match against each other. I know we did one as a tag team. I'm trying to recall if we actually – I think I challenged him to a supersized match, and we ended up doing something else. But I know we tagged together in a supersized match.
Okay. All right. Well, Tom, at the 7:04 mark, one of the announcers said that you applied a derriere belly bump to Andrew Sowell. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans what a derriere belly bump is?
That's give him a good old kick to the gut, and when he's bent over, I run up behind him, hit him with my belly to his derriere, and knock him out the ring.
I see. Have you ever seen this move done in a prison setting?
Maybe, but I doubt it'd be called the same thing.
Oh, okay. Oh, boy, that's scary. Very scary. Okay. Well, at the 7:52 mark, you black hold slammed Andrew Sowell. The announcer said it was a black hold slam. My question is, were you a big fan of the song Black Hole Sun by Soundgarden and singer Chris Cornell?
I definitely enjoy the song. I think the announcer was making the names up as he went, but definitely enjoy the song.
Oh, okay. Black Hole Slammed and Black Hole Sun. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, Tom, at the 14:21 mark, Andrew hit you with a textbook spear. His body was very parallel to the mat. That's what I'm trying to say. While he was airborne, to me, he looked like a torpedo in the North Atlantic, and the only thing missing was a phosphorescent trail. My question is, when you were in the Navy, did you see any dolphins leaving phosphorescent trails? That's my question.
I don't actually remember being outside much when we were underway. I was always down in the engine rooms.
Oh, okay. Now, were you on a ship called an LSD, I believe, right? Or LST?
Yep, I was on a LSD and an LPD.
Oh, okay. Can you tell our fans what the difference is between these two crafts?
Yep. The only difference is one of them was a new ship, the other one was an old ship. They both had the same purpose.
All right. Were you ever an honorary shellback?
Nope. We got close. The closest we ever went was Panama, but never actually crossed the equator.
Oh, okay. So you never treated King Rex the same way you beat up Andrew Sowell. King Rex.
Nope.
Oh, okay. Now, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans what your weight was in the Navy?
What my weight was? I was about 260 pounds when I was in the Navy.
No, I meant rate. Rate when your job was.
Yeah, I was a engine mechanic, engine man for a few years, and then I was a machinery repairman when I got out.
Oh, okay. All right. So what was a total amount of years that you were in the Navy?
6 years active and 4 years reserve.
Oh, very nice. Okay, well, we do thank you for your service, yes. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Tom, at the 15:35 mark, Andrew hit you with a pineapple that eventually led to a 6 count, so he got the pinfall by pineapple. My question is, have you ever suffered a pinfall by coconut?
No, I have not, which I'm kind of happy. I think that would hurt a little bit more than the pineapple would.
Yes. What did you think of Jimmy Snuka being hit in the head? I mean, Jimmy Snuka being hit. Yes, he did, being hit in the head by a coconut on Piper's Pit.
Definitely, definitely cringe every time I still see it, knowing that definitely wasn't comfortable.
Yes, he would have. I don't know. You know, if you get hit in the head by a pineapple, you have those spikes. So, you know, the spikes.
Yeah, it definitely scratches you up pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Tom, the Hurricane, who had his most famous rivalry in WWE with The Rock, had superhero in training, Rosie. Are there any wrestlers that have caught your eye at Devotion Wrestling who could be pineapple trainees?
Oh, I don't think anyone's ever going to hold up to being my little pupil just that damn good.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, as a part of your diet, when you have dessert, is it mostly pineapple upside down cake?
Ooh, definitely haven't had that one for a while. I definitely do get a lot of pineapple flavored desserts here, though. I know we've got pineapple popsicles sitting in the freezer right now.
Wow. All right. Okay. Now, did you have a lot of pineapple upside down cake in the Navy as a dessert on your ship?
If it was pineapple upside down cake, you definitely couldn't tell. All the food in the Navy looked like mush.
Well, yes, they. When you got underway, sometimes you had to have powdered eggs. Powdered eggs.
Yeah. I know when we were up.
Go ahead.
I know when we were underway is when we actually ate better, because the cooks weren't worried about going home. They were there 24/7, so all they had to do was focus on cooking. So we actually enjoyed food better while we were underway.
Oh, so you mean they kind of slacked while they were in port?
Exactly, yeah. When we were in port, they were just trying to hurry up and get everything done so they could go home, so they didn't seem to focus and put as much love into the cooking as they did underway.
Oh, that's not good. A good cook focuses both in port and underway.
Normal good cooks, though, aren't under contract 24/7.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, were there any other ships besides the LST that you served on that you maybe with TAD, which is temporary additional duty on? Any other class of ships?
Yeah, I did on the USS Milius. Heck, that was when I was first in. Pretty sure it was a battleship. I don't really remember. That was quite some time ago. But we went on a small little outing with them. That was pretty fun.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Tom, have you heard the news that the USS Theodore Roosevelt has been underway a record 196 days now, 196 days without a port call, the Theodore Roosevelt?
Oh. I hope they are getting more than one beer day, that's for sure. That is terrible.
Yes. I believe this is due to COVID-19. They want to keep them underway.
Hopefully they bring out the unlabeled beer for them. That's all I'm saying. I hope the guys and gals out there aren't too miserable.
And speaking of which, have you ever used an unlabeled beer as a foreign object in the wrestling ring? Unlabeled beer.
Not as an object, more of as a celebration, but I don't think I've ever hit anybody with one yet. I have to add that to my bucket list.
Oh, okay. As you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin used to celebrate by having the fans throw him a beer after a victory. Do you remember Stone Cold catching beers from fans?
Oh, yeah. That was so back to when me and Andrew were tag team partners and we had the burger company that would always bring us burgers. After Andrew and I would win, we would have my brother, he would throw us cheeseburgers into the ring and we would have a cheeseburger celebration like Stone Cold did. We'd be smashing our burgers together and just having a good old fun time.
What do you prefer, a turkey burger or an Angus beef burger?
I got to go with beef. We got to stick with the beef.
Oh, okay. All right. Do you ever have any cheeseburgers with a pineapple ring on it?
Ooh. Definitely have a dinner plan now for tonight.
Yes. I'm surprised you've never had a burger with a pineapple ring on it.
I know. I've had a teriyaki burger from Carl's Jr. when they used to put chunks of pineapple on them, but a pineapple ring on a burger sounds pretty tasty right about now.
It is tasty. Trust me. Yes. Yes. Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. All right. Well, at this time, I'm going to give it back over to Sign Guy.
Awesome. Thank you.
Here.
Thank you, QT. Well, Tom, we mentioned earlier in the show that you did have a successful tag team going with Andrew Sowell, but do you personally have a preference when it comes to singles wrestling versus tag team wrestling?
Well, I know during the nice hot summer months, I prefer tag team wrestling because you're get a little bit of a break in the scorching heat. Definitely, you can have more fun as a tag team because you get to play off your partner, play off the other person's partner. But right now, I'm actually enjoying my singles run.
Now, you take into effect everyone that is currently active in the business, and when I say currently active, like as in when the pandemic had yet to shut us all down, people that were active at that point, who would be your dream tag team partner if you could have anyone team with you from around the country?
Oh, for sure, R-Truth. I just love how fun. I'd love to tag with R-Truth, no doubt about it.
R-Truth, of course, multiple time champion in pro wrestling from WWE. He was also the NWA world champion when TNA was affiliated with them. Still a very recent champion with the 24/7 title. What is it, do you think, that R-Truth would bring to the table as far as a tag team partner for you?
I enjoy a partner who is willing to go out there and just have fun with me, and I think that'd definitely be R-Truth's strong point, would be having fun and wanting to get a W at the same time.
We know that right now with the current situation of things, a lot of pro wrestling companies are kind of stuck in a holding pattern. You're very lucky with Devotion Championship Wrestling in that you're still doing shows in front of a limited amount of fans, taping television, having that television air first run on a CW affiliate in Salt Lake City at a very good time slot for pro wrestling. Do you think that you and the wrestlers at DCW, when things open up completely for independent wrestling, are going to be a little bit farther ahead than people in the rest of the country, or do you think that things will eventually just kind of even out once people get a few shows under their belt?
I think as soon as everything's cleared up, we're going to keep going even harder and faster. I think for a Devotion, there's nowhere to go but up. We're going all the way up.
Now, obviously, wrestling in front of a live audience that are the fans there at the arena is different than wrestling on television, where you're wrestling not only for those in attendance at the arena, but for those that are watching the matches at home on television. How big of an adjustment was that for you, learning to wrestle a television style?
It definitely was a little different because that was always my favorite thing, because the crowd is your bread and butter. Like when you're working with them, they make your match so much easier and so much more fun, because they don't want to be watching you if you're boring them. So it was definitely interesting finding a balance between making sure I'm making the connection with the people watching on TV while maintaining a connection with the people in the arena.
Now, since DCW is one of the few promotions still running on a regular basis right now, especially independent-wise, have you noticed kind of an uptick as far as merchandise sales and kind of the ancillary things that go into wrestling, like Twitter followers, Facebook followers, that type of thing, or has that kind of stayed at a level that was set before the pandemic?
Well, I know since the pandemic, the amount of wrestling fans and friends I've been getting on Facebook, I actually have to start looking at people's profiles now before I accept friends, because there's so many coming in. People just seem bored, so they want to add anybody that they think looks cool.
Now, on a similar vein to that, have you noticed an uptick as far as people from outside of your area contacting you about potential bookings and that sort of thing?
Oh, totally. It's not just the pandemic causing people wanting to get out here. It's the fact that we have Al Snow, Vince Russo, a weekly TV show. That by itself was causing people to want to get out here, and then the pandemic was just another little cherry on that ice cream bowl.
If you were to bring in anybody to DCW to have a match against, who do you think might be your dream opponent?
Well, I know as a kid, it would definitely be impossible now, but I know my dream match, if it ever could have happened, I'd love to work against Hulk Hogan.
Not sure he could have a match anymore, but if he did, why not have it at DCW?
Totally, that would be awesome.
In addition to chair shots being something of a controversial subject this week, a lot of people were discussing on both sides of the issue intergender wrestling. There's a lot of proponents that are on both sides of the equation, some for intergender wrestling, some are very against it. Have you personally done very much intergender wrestling?
Yeah, I've done a few intergender tag matches, which I think you can have. That's the thing about pro wrestling, is anything can work as long as you make it work right. Of course, if the fans see a 320-pound dude just beating the tar out of a woman, it's going to kind of cause some negative reactions. But if you can set it up right, like, then I think it's golden. I think keep doing it.
Now, of course, there in Salt Lake City, you have the television exposure, but a lot of promotions have gotten on board with the various streaming services, be it Fight TV or IWTV or Powerbomb.tv. There's so many out there right now, and a lot of promotions have gone that route to try to get eyes on their product. What do you think about streaming shows on these various services? Do you think that it helps a promotion, or do you think that it potentially hurts a promotion with people staying at home to watch rather than going to the arena?
I think so. Actually, tonight we're running a Twitch. We're going to be running on Twitch. We do a show before the show, really. So we use our Twitch to kind of get people wanting some more. So they see what they like on Twitch, and they're like, hey, let's make it out and actually see the event tomorrow. So I think these live streams could be beneficial if people know how to use them.
Do you personally kind of keep tabs on other promotions going on around the country? Do you watch a lot of the streaming shows or YouTube of what other promotions might be doing, just to kind of get a gauge on what's working in other parts of the country, or do you more or less focus on your area?
I more or less just focus on me. Like I said, we got Vince Russo writing for us, who wrote some of the highest ratings for professional wrestling. So he knows what works, and he knows how to get attention. So we let him do his business.
Now, with DCW being on TV, we talked about like the Facebook requests and things of that nature going up. But in your day-to-day life, have you noticed a little bit more recognition from people when you go to the store, you're going to the laundromat or whatever it is? Do you have people that recognize you from that television show?
Yeah, I actually was at the grocery store right up from my house the other day, and some guy came running up to me and said, hey, are you Tom Chad? Do you wrestle with Devotion? I said, yeah, how's it going? He's like, we went to a show a couple months ago for you guys, and you gave my son a pineapple, and he really loved it. We can't wait to get back. And that was pretty cool, knowing something as small as me just giving out some gimmick was going to make a kid so happy, and his father remember that as well. So,
now in today's wrestling environment, there's a wide range as far as what types of crowds promoters are trying to bring in. It seems like a lot of independent wrestling is geared towards a certain type of niche crowd, be it kind of the bar crowds that bring in the rowdy adults, or be it a family-friendly event that's going to have a lot of children, a lot of senior citizens, or be it the shows that are geared more towards fans of a certain style of wrestling. Do you think that you yourself would be able to fit in any type of show, or do you think that you best fit in a certain type of niche environment as far as the crowds go?
Oh, definitely not. I can do it all. Right now, where we got our family, that's more what we're leaning towards for fans, but we're hopefully to start doing some, I know right now bar fights are big, so hopefully when things start clearing up, that opens up too. So any type of environment I can thrive in.
Now, of course, like I said, there's a lot of niche audiences for various styles, and we see perhaps more than any time that I can remember so many styles coming to the forefront on American television. You have sort of the British mat-based style. You have Lucha Libre. You have the Japanese strong style. There's more submission-based wrestling. There's the high-flying, acrobatic type of wrestling. Do you personally have a preferred style of wrestling to wrestle against?
Nope, I don't have anything I prefer. I just enjoy going out there and doing it all and giving the fans everything they want.
On the flip side of it, do you have a particular style that you most yourself?
Nope, not in particularly. Not that I can think of.
One of the other more popular things in wrestling over the last few years has been masked wrestlers. I've noticed in the last 10 years or so, we've seen a lot more masked wrestlers compared to the previous, say, 15 years. A lot of people on the independents especially have noticed the marketing ability of being a masked wrestler, where they can sell replicas and use it as sort of a brand on their merchandise. Do you think that masked wrestlers right now might be sort of at a peak in popularity, or do you think it's going to continue to increase or decrease?
I definitely think there's a chance for it to keep increasing. People love characters, and that's what masked wrestlers is there's something you don't know about them. Like, you don't know their face, you don't know what's going on, that it kind of keeps you interested. So that's something that everyone needs to try and keep getting back into, is more and more character. Yeah, you can do all the cool moves and possibly get yourself killed, but I think my character is what keeps me most tied in with the fans.
When you look at the landscape of DCW right now, who do you think, discounting yourself, might be some of the people on the rosters that are going to most connect with a national audience at some point, whether they break away and go to one of the current national companies, or if they continue with DCW as it continues to get larger and seen by more and more people around the country? Who do you think is going to have that connection with that national audience?
Oh, man, definitely you got Manny Lemons, Andrew Sowell, Rick Tahaka, Marlon Bishop. He's even one of our guys who comes out of state every time. But Marlon Bishop, Chango Bronson, Bruce Wayne, the Brother Smith. There's so many people I can see, because everyone who comes to Devotion and works our shows, everyone is wanting to get better and wanting to learn more. And we're not just comfortable stopping where we're at. We all want to keep the pedal all the way down and keep going.
Someone else that is a DCW regular is someone that we have had on this program a few times in the last 10 years since we've been running it, and that is Tombstone Jesus. I know he is a popular wrestler with the Salt Lake City crowd. He's been in that area for his entire career. What are your thoughts on Tombstone Jesus?
Oh, man, that man definitely knows how to entertain and make the crowd happy. They love him absolutely to death.
Now, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but when you finish a match, and especially here in the summer where it's very hot and humid in some of these arenas and you have the television lights hitting you, post-match, do you go straight for the pineapple juice to rehydrate, or are you hitting some water? You have a celebratory beer. What's the drink of choice post-match?
As soon as the match is over, I go for the water, and then I start reaching for the brewskis or the half and halves with some pineapple juice in them. I definitely need to hydrate first.
Obviously, like you said, you are a fan of the pineapple chunks on a burger and so forth, looking to get into the pineapple rings on a burger, which shocks me you haven't had yet.
I know, I can't believe that.
I can't either. Now, on a day-to-day basis, how much pineapple and in how many forms of it would you say you consume?
I definitely consume pineapple daily, whether it be juice or dried pineapple, but I'm pretty sure I don't think I've gone a day without it for quite some time.
Of course, Hawaii is sort of the home of pineapple production for this company. Have you ever wrestled in Hawaii?
I have not. I would definitely love to, though.
Hopefully that will become a reality for you fairly soon. Well,
I would love that. I think
left.
Hawaii would love pineapple clad.
I don't see why they wouldn't. And imagine pineapple clad in a triple threat with Pineapple Jack and Pineapple Pete in the Battle of Pineapples.
Oh, there we go. A pineapple triple threat.
That would be huge. I think the streaming services would see huge, huge profits if they make that happen.
Oh, yeah. Pineapple sales would skyrocket.
Yeah. Now, we got a few minutes left, and I want to make sure you have ample time. So if there is anything at all you want to say to the listeners today, plug and promote anything and everything, social media, merchandise, upcoming shows, your favorite brand of pineapple, floor is all yours.
Oh, definitely, yeah. So I just want everyone to tune into Twitch tonight for Devotion Championship Wrestling. We're going to be doing a live streaming tonight, setting up for our show tomorrow in Salt Lake City. So you won't be able to catch the show live, but you want to see what we're all about, just get a little glimpse tonight at 7 p.m. is when we're starting our Twitch up, and that's Devotion Championship Wrestling. And then tomorrow we're going to be at the Gateway out here in Salt Lake City. If any of you listeners are in Salt Lake and you want to get some wrestling, come check us out. And just remember, pineapple chunks, I don't like it. I love it.
Well, pineapple clad Tom Chad, it has been a pleasure having you on here. I want to wish you all the best as you continue your career, and do my best to all the guys down in Salt Lake City.
Awesome. Thank you. I enjoyed being on your show.
Absolutely. Fans, definitely, if you're in Utah, you can turn on CW30 on Sunday mornings and watch Pineapple Clad Tom Chad and all of the other Devotion Championship Wrestling stars. Vince Russo is part of that organization now, and they are affiliated with Ohio Valley Wrestling. So big, big things happening with that company. Keep your eyes on them. Keep your eyes on Pineapple Clad Tom Chad for sure. QT, looks like a successful show, and we are awaiting our next guest, Dewey Wellington, in a minute. But QT, here in our neck of the woods, next live show in this area is going to be August the 22nd. It will be right over the state line in Idaho, Northwest Pro returning to the racetrack.
Ooh, that's August 22nd?
It is August 22nd.
Oh, wow. Okay. And that's a Saturday?
It is a Saturday, yes.
Now, Sign Guy, did you ever hear about that story of the pineapple juice drinking fountain outside a Dole pineapple factory in Honolulu, Hawaii in the 1940s?
I had not, but I definitely want to go there and see if it's still there. And if so, I want to drink from that because I love pineapple juice.
I'm sure today they have a lot of restaurant workers wiping down services after meals and stuff. And, well, they'd probably be wiping down that pineapple fountain. Yes.
I would suspect so, especially in this day and age, yes.
But I do wish Pineapple Clad Tom Chad a smooth transition of trying out a bonsai burger, which is usually a burger soaked in teriyaki with a whole pineapple ring on it.
I am familiar with those. Those are quite good.
Now,
QT, I mentioned the Northwest Pro Show coming up. I want to do make mention that a special guest on that show, Pat Tanaka of AWA and WWF fame, will be on that show. Second generation star, legendary competitor. He will be coming in as the special guest for Northwest Pro.
Pat Tanaka, huh?
Yes. We have, of course, recently, in the last several weeks, had his tag team partner, Paul Diamond, on our show. It'll be nice to see Pat Tanaka, the other half of Bad Company and the Orient Express.
Were you yourself a big fan of Bad Company, the rock group?
I enjoyed Bad Company, the group, and I also enjoyed Bad Company, the tag team, quite a bit.
Oh, okay. Now, Stein, as you know, Tanaka is a very common and prestigious name in Japanese folklore. Tanaka.
Yes, it is.
I think it is about the same as Wellington in English. Wellington.
I could definitely see that. To my knowledge, Pat Tanaka, not related at all to former pro wrestler Toru Tanaka, but Pat Tanaka is the son of legendary Florida championship wrestler Duke Kiyomoku.
Oh, now I think there was a famous surfer, Duke Kiyomoku Jr. in Hawaii, that surfed like 40-foot waves at one point. 40 footers.
That could be relation. I'm not entirely sure.
Oh, okay. I will research that along with the pineapple fountain. I guess you could go on YouTube and just plug in pineapple fountain as a shot in the dark. Pineapple fountain.
I'm going to have to do that. Now, QT, did you happen to sample this pineapple fountain?
No. I think it would be banned. Well, oh boy, I don't know. I don't know what the food standards and stuff were back in the 40s. That was just recovering from the Depression. Maybe they were a little laxed on what came out of fountains then.
I could see that in the 1940s, not probably as strict as they would be today.
Yes, you know, today is all about lawsuits, whereas in the 1940s, they let things slide. Yes.
I can see that. Now, QT, if you could have any juice come out of a fountain here in 2020, which juice would it be?
I think my top three would be cranberry, and then cherry, and then grapefruit.
Uh-huh. Now, have you ever mixed cranberry and grapefruit together?
Not that I can remember. I think there's a drink that involves those two flavors and vodka. Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So imagine if you were to have a vodka fountain, QT. I don't know if you'd ever leave the spot.
I think there'd be a huge lineup.
I think so.
Now, Stein, you yourself went to a wrestling match just over the border a couple weeks ago. I myself was stuck in a traffic jam a little bit later than you were, and so I was right on the borderline of getting there. I think I could have got there, but I would have had to drive about 82 miles an hour all the way from Ellensburg to across Spokane. And my limit is about 79 instead of 82. At 82 miles an hour, I always imagine Smokey is in my rearview mirror, so I decided not to risk it. The best, as a crestfallen wrestler who was looking forward to this for many months, my only consolus was deep-fried cauliflower from Rosso's U Totem in Ellensburg. But and I missed a lot of what I hear was stellar action. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans? I mean, I saw you in the ring in a photograph, but was Polychromatic rumored to be there?
She was not only rumored to be there, she was there.
Oh, boy. Now, I don't know how I would react. Polychromatic and I have never quite seen eye to eye. I don't know how I'd react to her with probably spoiling the natural beauty, spoiling the natural beauty of Idaho for me.
Well, she might have. She did try to distract me. It didn't work. She was, of course, managing or co-managing the House of Pain, Chuck Payne, and Mikey the Mustache as they took on the tag team, I believe, first time tag team of Jay Spade and Danger Dean.
Ooh, very nice. Who was the winner of that tag team match?
Danger Dean and Jay Spade.
Oh, well, now that would have gone against Polychromatic's wishes, which would have kind of pleased me. Yes.
Oh, okay. Now, QT, they also had two new champions crowned at Northwest Pro. The Washington State champion technically defended in a match in Idaho, and we saw in a multi-person match, Roger Hawkins win that championship. Roger Hawkins, he is now your Washington State champion.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Hawkins Glenn, which kind of sounds
like
Wellington.
Oh, I said you saw Roger Hawkins win.
Oh, all right. Wow.
And then
how big
later
Roger
in the
Hawkins
night.
Though?
Yes, Roger Hawkins. And later in the night, in the main event, in a triple threat match, Lumberjack won the Northwest Pro Heavyweight Championship.
Oh, no. Now, see, Lumberjack and I also haven't seen eye to eye ever since an incident. Can you describe this incident where you may have suffered a blow from Lumberjack? A blow.
Lumberjack snapped and was very, very angry after a match. He ended up striking me and then body slamming Y period T period Jones.
Yes. Yes. And that's when pretty much I lost faith in Lumberjack. Yes. I used to be a huge fan.
Imagine if Polychromatic and Lumberjack were to form some sort of union, QT. Would that drive you up a wall?
Oh, I'd probably take up wall climbing, yes, much like Spider-Man does. Yes.
He does do that for sure.
Were there any
now, QT, also on that card, we saw Chris Marks win nothing because he was defeated by Manny Rios. So Manny Rios getting a big win on Chris Marks, and then Chris Marks had the nerve to blame me for it.
What? How could he blame you? What was the crux of his blame?
Shoved me a little bit in the match because his opponent got his foot on the ropes, so I stopped the three count. He blamed me for that, gave me a shove. I may have shoved him back off of me a little bit, told him to knock it off, and then Manny Rios got the win on him after that. Chris Marks blames me for all that.
At any time, did Darth Carter come to your aid in defense of Chris Marks? I mean,
no, but I definitely would have assaulted that idiot. I hate Darth Carter.
I think somehow you're selling Darth Carter slightly short.
I think life is selling Darth Carter slightly short.
What if pineapple-clad Tom Chad were ever to meet Darth Carter in the ring? How do you think pineapple-clad Tom Chad would do against the Darth?
Hopefully he'd win in record time, and then he would snap the arm of Darth Carter and collect the bounty.
Oh, yes, there is a bounty on his arm, isn't there? Damn.
There definitely is.
I heard rumors, though, that Darth Carter may have been a Navy veteran, like pineapple-clad Tom Chad.
I can't confirm or deny that. Maybe you've been talking to Darth Carter more than anyone else.
Well, now I asked pineapple-clad Tom Chad what his rate was, and he thought I said what his weight was in the Navy.
Well, I could see that. QT, can you tell people what your peak weight in the Coast Guard was?
179 pounds.
179. Now, did you have to do a lot of cardio to maintain 179?
I'm getting a call from my boss. I got to hang up and check in.
All right. Well, it looks like our other guest isn't going to make it anyway, so we'll wrap this up. I do want to make mention, over the last week or so, we lost a couple of people in the wrestling business. Mark Rollerball Rocca from England, a legendary competitor, passed away. And a couple of days ago, Mitch Ryder, who is a staple in the Midwest independent scene, he passed away as well at the early age of 46. So we want to send our condolences to the families and fans of those. And as we close out, we will hit our 10-bell salute to them.